Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Beloy here. Thanks for tuning in. Spend part of your Friday night with us. Hope you're going to spend the whole thing, but I understand. You don't have any money to go anyplace, do you? Huh? Movies suck. Dinner's too expensive. So stick around while we pry open your brain and see what's inside there. Last night, towards the end of the program, flashing across my computer terminal was a blog by Brad Friedman, who has the site bradblog.com, and he was quoting a Lexington, Kentucky NBC affiliate who was reporting yesterday afternoon that five Clay County officials, including a circuit court judge, a county clerk, the election officer, and election officers, were arrested yesterday after they were indicted on federal charges accusing them of using corrupt tactics to obtain political power and personal gain. The NBC affiliate went on to say the 10-count indictment unsealed yesterday accused the defendants of a conspiracy from March 2002 to November 2006 that violated the RICO Act. The defendants were also indicted for extortion, mail fraud, obstruction of justice, conspiracy to injure voter rights, and conspiracy to commit voter fraud. According to the indictment, these alleged criminal actions affected the outcome of federal, local, and state primary and general elections in 2002, 2004, and 2006. Good God in heaven. Brad Friedman is on the line with us now. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Mike, how are you, sir?
This sounds halfway serious.
Yeah, well, it's real serious, and it's actually bigger than it actually appears. Of course, the mainstream media doesn't get it, but we'll try to put it into perspective here. Yeah, this was an ongoing conspiracy between some eight of these folks who were arrested, mm-hmm. Including a circuit judge, the head of the election board there, the school superintendent. They were all in this scheme to not just buy and sell votes over a bunch of elections, 2002, 2004, 2006, mm-hmm. but what caught my eye, frankly, here the most was that the fact that they were gaming electronic voting machines. They were
Let me see. Yeah. Now, who manufactured those, Brad?
Well, in this case, it was ES&S.
No!
Yes, ES&S, the largest voting machine company in America. Uh-huh. But what they were doing was a scheme that could be done on any touchscreen voting machine, including Diebold, Sequoia, Hardinner Civic, and all the rest, because they're all designed with the same crappy design that allows exactly this to happen.
You know, Diebold, that sounds familiar. Oh, yeah, that's right. Those were the machines that I have voted on here in Georgia. I think the last four elections, counting the off years, they're also the people that can handle an ATM transaction, but they can't give me a receipt about who I voted for.
Well, that's right. Well, they don't want to. They do in some states, but frankly, it wouldn't make a difference. Because in this case, exactly, you know, what these guys were doing, it wouldn't have mattered if there was a receipt or not, because the receipt would have said exactly what it was that they were changing the votes to changing the machines to say.
Oh,
you know, and furthermore, what this shows us, because this was election officials, Board of Elections officials, including a circuit judge, as I said, you know, we have heard time and time again how, oh, these machines, they may have security issues, but ain't no voter going to be able to get in there and change an election. Mm-hmm. And those of us who know anything about computer security and about e-voting have always argued that it's not the voters you have to worry about.
Right.
It's the insiders.
Right. So it's never voter fraud. It's always election fraud.
Well, that's right. And
yeah.
You couldn't have accomplished this scheme unless you had the insiders at the polls who were actually taking people into the booths, telling them once they hit the vote button, they were done with their vote. Now, these silly voters, why would they think that just because they went through the ballot and then hit a button that says vote, that they were done?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, this is the way these things are designed. But in fact, when you hit the vote button, you're not actually done. You then get to review your ballot.
Right.
And then finally hit a cast ballot button.
That's right, yeah.
And that's how they were able to get in there. They would, you know, after they hit the vote button, they would say, okay, great, you're done, thanks a bunch, goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would stay in the booth, they would change the votes to whatever they want, and then they would hit cast ballot.
Oh, for God's sake. I mean, not only does that piss me off, but it's a very simple theft. You didn't have to be, well, excuse me, these are Kentucky elected officials, so I guess they wouldn't be very smart, would they?
Well, I'll tell you, I read someone's comment today, I can't remember on, it's been getting covered, people have been linking over to this story all day, and one of the commenters said, you know, it's like with cockroaches. If you see one, there are likely hundreds of them there.
Well, I watched a couple of evening newscasts like I'm wont to do every single night, and also cruise around websites, mainstream media websites, and Brad, for the life of me, I haven't found anything about this yet. Only on your site and to, you know, whoever who's linked to it now, but the start at your site last night. And this was on NBC, the NBC affiliate in Lexington, Kentucky. How's come media hasn't picked up on this?
Because they don't get it. They don't give a damn. You know me. I've been driving you crazy for I don't know how many years, screaming, yelling and screaming with my hair on fire about these voting machines, these voting systems. And people just, I think people care. But I can't explain why the media doesn't care. I can't even explain why more in the progressive media don't care.
Oh, yeah.
It allows these guys to get away with it. You know, I'm reading another story that came out yesterday. Now, here's the big thing, is that the voting machine industry, the private vendors who use secret software to count our elections, they have been saying for years that, well, there may be problems with our system, but there's, you know, nobody's ever actually used one of these electronic systems to hack an election in any way, to change results, et cetera. Well, now we have a very specific example of somebody having done that. Never mind, there is plenty of evidence that that has been done,
right,
even though they try to hide it. But now we have specific evidence, and even the spokeswoman for the industry in this other story on something else said yesterday that, quote, no electronic voting system has been compromised in an election.
Well,
apparently she is wrong.
Is absolutely
again.
Wrong. Yeah, absolutely. How did, before we get to what this might mean for Kentucky electoral politics, tell me how these people got indicted. Now, this is a 10-count indictment, which I would think would indicate that there was some heavy-duty investigative work going on prior to taking this to a grand jury that handed up this indictment, 10-count indictment. What do you suppose tipped off the authorities? And again, this is Kentucky, so I will make the assumption, other people may not, but I will make the assumption that whatever votes were stolen, whatever machines were altered in favor of Republicans. So one would assume that the county prosecutor in Lexington, Kentucky would also be a Republican. How did this make it to a grand jury?
Well, in truth, I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out. The reporting on it has been so bad.
Well, it's puzzling to
more details.
It's
now,
puzzling to you too, then.
What's that?
It's puzzling to you too, then.
Well, it is, but the fact that it's done, you know, they, let me make it clear, they got away with it. I mean, they started this scheme back in 2002, and then 2004, 2006, in the primary and the general, in each of those years. So they've been getting away with it for some years. Now, part of their scheme also involved buying and selling votes, so they would pay people for their absentee ballot to vote the way they wanted them to vote. Now, this means you've got a wider and wider conspiracy.
I got it.
And
yeah,
the wider the conspiracy, the easier it is to catch. So I'm going to guess that somebody, you know, finally blew the whistle there. I'm trying to figure out who. But as far as Republican or Democrat, Mike, a lot of these folks who were arrested seem to be involved with the Democratic Party. Now, if they were actually Democrats, I don't know, because, in fact, it also includes a Republican judge. So you had actually Republican judges and Democratic judges at the polling place doing these things in a very, very heavily Republican county. So I don't even know. You know, it may just be that these guys were in it for the money, because they were bribing candidates to get on their slate of people who they would help get elected.
When you say judges, now, are you referring to judges or poll judges, or do you mean courtroom judges?
One of the guys who was arrested was, in fact, the circuit county judge there. But no, I mean the polling place judges.
Okay, let me
got
get
in as let, both Republican judges and as Democratic judges.
Let me get you hold on. Let me get you hold on, Brad. We gotta take a break here, so we'll come right back. We're talking with Brad Friedman. Go to bradblog.com and check this out.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. We're talking with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, who last night put the word out about a 10-count indictment unsealed yesterday in Lexington, Kentucky, Clay County, Kentucky. All sorts of accusations against a raft of defendants on crimes involving the misuse of voting equipment. I can't get it said tonight. I'm sorry. All right, now, Brad, how does this? Do you have any idea how this may or may not have affected the any of the elections in Kentucky?
No, because I have yet to be able to get the slate of candidates. What they would do is, in each of these elections in 2002, 2004, 2006, in the primaries and the generals, they would basically draft a slate of candidates, and they would go around from candidate to candidate and essentially bribe them to get on this this group of conspirators, to get on their slate, and these would be the people they would put through. That's one of the reasons why it's been so difficult to figure out if these were Democrats or Republicans. At this point, I don't know, but the county has gone heavily Republican election after election down there, despite the fact that these some of these guys claim to be part of the Democratic Party, while others were Republican election judges and so forth. So don't know how it affected the race just yet, but I can also tell you that these machines that they used to go in and manually change votes on the electronic voting machines, the ESNS iVoteTronic is used in 419 counties across 18 states in this nation. These exact same machines.
That's about 20%, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, I think ESNS has a total of about 40%, if I'm remembering correctly, of the election business, and I even hate that word, but the election business in this country. So their machines are everywhere. The ability to do this is everywhere. And the particular scheme these guys pulled off doesn't even have to be on ES&S machines. It could be on machines made by Diebold, Sequoia, or anybody else.
Well, let me ask you then. Is there a possibility here? Are we overthinking this? Could it be that these people really didn't give a tinker's damn who got elected to what? That what they were interested in, once they figured out that they could influence directly by playing with these machines the vote, maybe they just decided to go into it for the money, that they have no political agenda at all. They don't give a damn who's elected or if nobody's elected as long as they get the money.
You know what? That's exactly the sense that I'm getting. Now, I could be wrong here, but it seems to me this was a money-making scheme because, you know, remember, they were it was a twofold scheme. One, they were paying absentee voters. They were going through the books and figuring out who they might be able to, you know, who they knew in that county they might be able to pay off to get their votes via absentee voting.
Uh-huh.
But then on election day, at the polling place, they didn't even need to pay anybody for their votes because they were flipping it themselves. So this means any money that they were able to have bribed from candidates who wanted to be on their slate, they could keep all of that money. So I'm sensing they were in this thing for the money more than any political reason.
Right. So what I might point up, though, if these were just cheesy crooks who figured out a way to make to steal money, what it points up, though, is how simple it is to alter an election, contrary to what these people have always said.
Exactly right. And that's the point. And that's why, to me, frankly, it doesn't even matter if they had flipped it to Democrats, flipped it to Republicans. I've been making this case for years. I don't give a damn. Either and all parties can do it. These machines make it incredibly easy, much easier for a smaller conspiracy, an insider, a single person can flip an entire election without being detected because of these electronic machines. And that's what, by the way, this week out here in California, a Diebold spokesman was finally forced to admit exactly that, that every version of their software allows votes to be deleted by an administrator, and that deletion will not even be recorded in the audit log. So if you wanted to go back and look at the election after the election, you can remove wholesale thousands of ballots, and you would have no idea when you went back to inspect that election And, you know, you're out there in Georgia where they use these crappy D-bulb touchscreens
right.
across the entire state.
Right.
It's 100% faith-based voting, and there is no amount of examination afterwards that would likely expose
mm-hmm.
a completely flipped election.
Well, the bottom line in all this, and we're getting ready to bail out for this segment, Brad. The bottom line in all this is that until these machines are gone, or until this proprietary programs that are using these machines are made public at anyone's request, then we never will really know how an election is really turned out, right?
You're exactly right. We're just faith-based elections. That's all we got. And I don't, frankly, even if they make the source code available, there's still a way to game,
still
ways
way, to game yeah.
these systems.
Still
get a piece of paper,
yeah.
get a pen, put them in a clear ballot box, and count the damn ballots at the end of the night at the precinct.
Wow.
It ain't rocket science.
What, what a novel idea. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Brad, thank you so much, man.
Always my pleasure. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Take care. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Mike Malloy Show.
Be an idiot. Act lame. Stay ignorant. Be remedial. Wear the dust cap. Slouch open. Do like the hunchback. Don't discuss things. Shout the last word. Put your person out the pasture. Drop your IQ. That's what I do. My advice to girls and guys who want to be a Nobel Prize finalist. Rock the scientists. Try applying this. Keep the customers coming around. If you're smart, then you better start dumbing it down. Say anything too profound.